You're listening to ESPN 97.5, Houston's only FM sports station.
One home for all professional sporting activities.
That's pretty cool.
Yep.
Presented by Rice University, Jones Graduate School of Business MBA program. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how's it going? It is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. It's a way back Wednesday, in fact, as we went pre-2009 songs from films associated with the RIP'd John Singleton. That was our final decision yesterday.
Yes, it was. And who got their list in first? The way home.
No, I did not. I did it when I got home, and I kept checking the inbox going, Barry's going to beat me by about like 30 seconds, and I'm going to get screwed, because the more movies and soundtracks I looked at, the more I was like, eesh. This was not as easy as it was supposed to. Nick and I were walking out, and Nick's like, oh yeah, there's plenty of films to choose from. It'll be good. I looked at him like, oh my goodness.
In reality, I don't feel like it's that bad, but they're not a bunch of songs that are necessarily known.
Right.
But that's, I feel the like there are a bunch of good songs.
So, I mean, for me, a lot of my songs were songs I listened to. Like, a lot of people aren't Main Source fans.
Right.
Loved Main Source. The Barbecue was actually where they featured Nas, and when Nas kind of, his coming out party. And then Compton's Most Wanted. Loved Compton's Most Wanted back in the day. So that, there were some on there that I was like, I feel like we're going to be more for me than the peeps. Yeah. I'm not going to get many votes, and that's okay.
Yeah, sometimes you just decide, like I did. I was like, you know what? I had a couple songs to go, and I went, you know what? Just
these are
go.
Ones I like.
Yeah, because, yeah. You know, like even Lisa's like, what are you doing? I go, I got to do my Way Back Wednesday list. And she's like, freaking Way Back Wednesday. Don't you ever hate that? I go, Lisa, it's part of the show. It's a staple. So we do it. It's just some weeks are tougher than others. And I go, you know, let's talk about John Singleton film. She goes, Poetic Justice. There's going to be like six Janet Jackson songs. Nope, just one. And it wasn't a good one. It was the slow one. I'm like, ugh.
So you get Lisa to help you is what you're
no,
saying.
No,
oh,
no.
I feel like that's what you said.
I wish, because this would have been easier. Because I was like, oh, it was a struggle.
I had Nora help me one time. It was awful. I had to delete it and start off. I'm like, with you're the worst music selector. If you were a DJ, you would be DJ awful because your song selection
My wife would be awful
sucks.
Deuce.
Yeah. Nora's song selection sucks. So I just do it myself.
But then when I told her songs, which songs didn't make the cut.
She got mad?
She got mad. Going, no, what else is on your list? Well, take that one off. I'm like, I'm not getting into
all this. Maybe she's cranky for another reason, Joel.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell the peeps?
Oh, God, they already know, because I was getting out of bed this morning at about 6:53, and my phone beat me to it. It jumped off the nightstand and started going crazy, so I put the TV on to find out that the wife decided to make a little announcement on television, regardless whether I was ready for it or not.
And that announcement is?
We are expecting baby number two late October, early November.
Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you. It's been...
Congratulations, sir.
Thank you, sir. It's been, as you guys know, because you guys knew ahead of time, it's been a stressful pins and needles thing for a lot of reasons, but the fact that we got the 100% okay, everything's healthy, good, is all you can ask for.
There is nothing better, I'm told. Than having kids.
It's an amazing experience. And I got to tell you, like the first time when we went into the action, and Lisa had to have a C-section. So, you know, we knew what day she was going in.
Right.
But I'm sitting behind her in the operating room next to her head. And nothing can prepare you for when the doctor reaches in like a grocery. It almost looks like a grocery sack.
Oh,
and just
no, you
pulls
watch
out
it?
The baby right in front of you. And you're like, wow.
You didn't vomit?
No, not at all.
Ugh,
let me tell you something. I didn't. she was ready to
vomit,
and like right before they got the baby,
she was feeling it. That feels weird.
No, it was a certain smell or something like that. Oh. And they're like, "Joel, do something." And I'm like, "What am I supposed to do? Like, cup my hand so she throws up in my palms?" My hand. They're like, "No, no, no." And they said, "Take this," and they had like a little, like almost like a little handkerchief with some like pleasant smelling handkerchief, whatever. But it had some pleasant. You know, it wasn't like rubbing alcohol. It was something like a pleasant smelling
chloroform.
Something.
Just
no, I thought
knock her out.
I thought it would knock her out. But they were like, "Here, have her smell this." And Lisa was like, "She's like, bring that ass closer to me." I was like, "All right, here, I feel like stick it in your mouth, but here, go ahead."
Wow.
And then you know, and then she kind of didn't have to throw it. She was like, "God, I was gonna hurl." I go, "Well, your kid just came flying out. That should have made you do it." She's like, "Are you kidding me?"
She immediately switched. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's
Well, dude, congratulations, man. I can't imagine the thrill that you guys must be feeling right now, and how happy you guys are.
And I'll tell you this: the fact I was glad Lisa they were going to hold off a while at the station, and Lisa was like, "If I got to wear Spanx one more day or try to fool this entire city into thinking that either I just had too many freaking drive-through meals or that I'm really not in shape, I got to get this out. I got to get the fat clothes." And so they announced it this morning. I was like, thank God, because holy hell, until she gets into sweatpants when she gets home, she's a terror.
Now she's going to be ordering all kind of clothes. Did she save any of her clothes from Taylor's pregnancy?
She did, thankfully. But the one that I'm really upset about, because, you know, Fashionista has to dress Taylor a certain way. Because she feels bad, like, you know, because I said I take her to school every day.
Yeah.
And Lisa's like, "I miss all that." So then whenever they have like any chances to not wear their little uniform or whatever, she's got Taylor dressed to the nines.
Yeah.
And so I kind of get it. I was like, "So what happened to all those clothes when Taylor was little?" She goes, "I donated them." I go, "Why? I mean, we saved all the cribs and the toys and all that."
Yeah.
"But why on the clothes?" She goes, "Well, because fashions change." I was like, "Oh my God, it's old, you know, seriously?" And then the one screw job that I get, right? So we knew, and I told you guys the other day, the day we found out. So I'm driving home, and I text her, and I go, "Can you do me one favor? Can you not tell Taylor when you pick her up from school so that I can film it when we get home? So one day we can look back and say, because Taylor's bugged us forever. She wanted a sister."
Really? That's cool.
I get home, and of course, my anal retentive wife is like, "Now don't show the bad part of the backyard. Let's get her with a good backdrop and everything."
God.
I'm like, "Seriously? It's going to take 5 minutes. So then I start filming, and the first thing Taylor says is, "Daddy, do you know that mommy's got a baby in there? She just didn't want me to tell you what it is."
Oh,
I look at her and I go, "So God. Your mom ruined it?" She goes, "I didn't tell her what the sex of the baby." I go, "Well, you definitely didn't do anything wrong then." I was like, okay, so literally Taylor gives me this little speech, which was cute, but I was like, not even close
not
to what
the
I
same
wanted.
Thing.
And we'll move on.
Yo, that's selfish. I mean, I'm not trying to break up your marriage because y'all have a kid on the way.
Well, yeah, we're stuck now.
I'd leave her.
Yeah, no.
That's selfish. Yeah. Wow. Were you mad? Like, were you legit?
No.
Oh, I'd have been pissed.
I was bothered, but the fact that Taylor was able to kind of put together a pretty good speech, I was like, that's cute, so we can save that.
Yeah,
but I wanted to catch the surprise of it.
Yeah.
Because literally forever, and I don't know, it was foreshadowing, for the last year and a half, Taylor would just be like, out of the blue, "Sister?" Before she could really talk.
Yeah.
And then she'd start bringing it up. And I'm like, why can't we be brother?
Yeah, right.
Like, literally, when we found out the baby was healthy, Lisa was like still kind of emotionally sad. And I go, why? We've waited for this moment. She goes, because I'm not giving you the boy you wanted. I go, whoa, yo.
Yo,
time
who cares?
Out.
Yeah.
Once you go through it once and realize how important health is, nothing else matters.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, they had cake for her this morning. I was like, I didn't know they were going to go so far as the gender reveal. But, you know, my wife, when she's pregnant, she makes sure she maximizes it. So she's hungry. And then when they put cake in front of her, she's already cutting it while they're making the announcement. And she's like, I know what it is. You guys don't. But, and they pull out the cake and it's pink. And I go, now the whole world knows. Every bit of our business. So there you go. So it was out there.
Well, that's good, man. I'm happy for you guys.
Yeah. Congratulations, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. So
that still doesn't mean I'm going to take it easy on you for way back when.
No, you shouldn't. Also, you should realize that I went to the doctor this morning.
Oh, yeah?
The whole checkup and everything.
And?
He was very pleased. And all the vitals
you're pregnant
were
too.
Good. No.
You're pregnant.
No.
What do you have?
He actually said that there wasn't much, he goes, I don't have an issue with your weight. And I go, well, I do. And he goes, I've been stressing about this baby thing for like 6 months, so it hasn't been helping. He goes, no, because all your vitals are good and everything like that. He goes, you know what? Keep doing what you're doing. If you want to up the cardio stuff like that, if you want to watch some things. I was like, okay, cool.
That's good.
So, yeah. So, and I weighed in at like 217, so I'm not that bad.
No, that's good. And you're, I mean, you're 6'1", though. That's, so yeah, that's not
but
bad.
But you know what?
I was 217 at 5'10", so not as good.
But not nonetheless, I'm good. Not happy. And so I got to, but now that, like I said, now we can put the stress of all this behind me. I've been working out more, so hopefully
it's
can.
It's a relief. It's a good
sexy
day.
For me.
Yeah.
We congratulate you, but now we can start throwing jabs.
Right. Right. I'm in my second trimester, so.
And when your kids get to college.
Uh-oh.
You're going to be brittle, sir. You're going to be an old man.
I had one of my friends that found out this morning said, oh, this is awesome because you're going to have two great girls that are going to take care of you the rest of your life. And I go, and they're going to take care of my bank account if they both get married before I die.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because those two weddings are not going
to
be cheap.
No. You might send one of them to Vegas for the Little White Wedding Chapel, get married in the drive-thru like Nora and I did.
If I like the guy.
So have y'all told the parents and everything?
Yeah, they knew.
That's good.
Yeah, they knew, and they're extremely excited. And they had the same attitude of, you know, they were all pushing for a boy, too. But they're like, look. And I'm like, yeah, that's – health is the most important thing, so we'll just – we're good.
Well, I kind of wish she would have done this yesterday.
Why?
Because Demetrius – shout out to Demetrius again for the care package that he sent us. Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But I had a great idea. Way Back Wednesday should have been songs that have something to do with a baby.
We can always do it next week.
So we'll do it next week, Demetrius. That's a great idea.
Barry's list will be in what? An hour?
No, I'll get through with this Way Back Wednesday. You'll have it tomorrow, though.
TLC Baby 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 is going to be number one, and we're just going to move on from there.
Exactly. Yeah. Tons of congratulations texts coming in. It's going to take me forever to read them all, but just know that they are already rolling in, and if there's any special messages, so you heard it.
Yep. Very much appreciated.
Special messages, I'll read those, and I'm sure you'll see them all as well. So.
Perfect. There you go. All right. So anything I missed, anything exciting happened last night? Everybody make it through the late night affair last night?
No. The only thing I wanted to bring up before we get into the debacle that is the Rockets is that today.
Yes.
I saw it on the front of ESPN, as I'm sure many of you did if you go to that website on a daily basis like we do.
Yeah.
What's that?
That's what he does whenever he talks about himself.
Who?
What you're about to say.
Me?
No.
Oh, him?
Yeah.
Ricky?
Yep.
Yeah, on this day in 1991, Ricky Henderson stole his 939th base, passing Lou Brock as the greatest base stealer of all time. And that's not even the good part of it. The best part of it is the after speech, when he's standing there holding the base and goes, Lou Brock was really great at stealing bases. Today, I am the greatest.
Yep.
What? I'm going to get the audio for you at the break.
I'm
going to
blow y'all's mind
right
now.
It's one of the most egotistical, narcissistic speeches you will ever hear, and it takes 10 seconds.
I'm going to blow your mind right now.
It's hilarious.
Was that game in Milwaukee?
I think it was.
I was there.
You were there?
I was there. I had the ticket stub. I saw it live. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. And it's and I thought about that, too, because I was like, I was growing up, I played, when I didn't pitch, I played center. And I was a Ricky fan because I loved the way he snapped the glove down when he made a catch in the outfield.
Yeah.
But there was just too much to take about Ricky being Ricky.
Boy, he loved him some Ricky.
Ooh, and when talked about himself in the third person all the time.
Yeah, talking about himself in the third person. He was completely oblivious to everything going on around him. One of my favorite Ricky Henderson stories of all time is about John Olerud. When he's playing with, they played together in Toronto, and then I think later in Seattle, or maybe vice versa. They were teammates early on, and then they were teammates later. And he sees John Olerud on the team in spring training when they link back up, and he goes, "Hey man, that's crazy! You wear a batting helmet in the field. I played with a guy in in New York that did the same thing." And he goes, "Ricky, that was me." He goes, "Oh," and he just. He had no idea that he played with John Olerud. It's just like,
man,
really? Oh, that's cool. No idea. I mean, the most egotistical, narcissistic dude, according to people. I don't know him, but according to people, Ricky loved him some Ricky.
Yep. I got a couple of stories. One, I saw him when he was in Chicago on a road trip, and we were shopping on, you know, just friends. We're just walking around Michigan Avenue. And he had a full-length mink coat on with a girl on his arm and big sunglasses. And no matter who said what to him, never turned, never wanted to sign an autograph. Was just, Ricky ain't got time for that.
Wow.
That's awesome. He was big time. And then when when I was in college, we used the Yankees facilities to play a game. And he was in the batting cages. And a bunch of us went down there. And I happened to have a Yankees batting practice jersey with his number on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, Ricky don't sign no 2-4s. Ricky don't sign no 2-4s. You got Oakland jerseys, maybe. I was like, oh, my God, forget it. I just walked away. I was like, dude, I didn't know there were rules to autographs. I just thought it'd be badass to get my jersey signed. Now I'm done.
That's too funny, man.
Yeah. So, all right, congrats to Ricky Henderson, because if we didn't give it to him, he'd already given himself plenty.
Oh, of course. He's probably on his Twitter. Today in 1991, I was the greatest. Don't forget.
Ricky's still Ricky. Don't forget that either.
Loves him, miss him, him.
All right, we're just getting rolling. I know y'all got some other things you want to get to, so give us a call. HRP Listener Line, 713-780-3776. Call that number, text that number, hit us on Twitter where it's at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at the producer Nick. Come on in. We're just getting started. Usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
24-37.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Luke Brock with the symbol of Great Bay Stealing. But today, I'm the greatest of all time. Thank you.
Oh, this.
That was Ricky Henderson.
That was Ricky being Ricky. And this is Joel being Joel. Joel, what movie is this from? This what John Singleton movie?
Film. This is the long version film short video that John Singleton did for Michael Jackson. Was the only video that he ever directed and produced along with Michael Jackson.
Go ahead and take his name off the poll. Go ahead and edit the poll.
Nope.
And take Joel's dumbass off of it.
I opened it up by saying John Singleton films. It's films.
This is a total cheat move on your part.
Absolutely.
I mean, did he have to direct the movie?
He directed it.
Why? Where's your list from?
I mean, because I got a lot of mine from the 8 Mile movie.
Uh-huh. I saw that.
The hell did he have to do with 8 Mile?
He was the bouncer.
You got to be. And you're yelling at me? At least he produced and directed mine.
You sons of bitches. Have no concept of the idea of you
playing a bouncer. Critical role.
A bouncer.
Critical role in that movie.
What was the bouncer's name?
I don't remember.
Bouncer. What? He didn't even have a name for his character. He was a bouncer.
Hey, you said John Singleton.
You do realize you brought all this on yourself.
I said movies. Okay, hold on. No, well, first of all, I.
Yep.
Why I said
your quote unquote gamesmanship with all this Way Back Wednesday stuff has just gotten to where it's gotten to where we all want to get it in.
First of all, you're an a-hole, Nick.
Why?
He's the bouncer.
The bouncer in a movie? You are out. What a crap ass list.
There's a poll, and I'm gonna let the people.
Nick already took the lead. The bots are back.
What
baby.
A crap ass idea. Second of all, did we say movie or did we say music video?
I said film. As long as it
doesn't
on
matter what
film,
you said,
I'm good.
I think we said movie.
You guys, I
are you
swear
crap
to God,
on me?
I'm not crapping on you. I said I think he asked the question. I answered.
I swear to God,
I thought we said Singleton movie.
He's like an extra.
Look, he's in the movie. He played a bouncer.
I'm oh at
that's
God.
A John Singleton movie.
What am I going to do with y'all?
There's only four or five songs from my list from that movie. It's not like the
four
entire list.
Eight? Of eight?
More than
it's not the entire list.
I hate you so much. You cheating ass Nick, cheating ass Joel. I'm the only one that takes this thing serious. They try to give to the people a good list.
And of course, this is the week we had to have the poll.
Board. Yeah, this would be the week we have the poll. I hate y'all.
Did you see the top of the document where it says Way Back Wednesday, songs associated with John Singleton film?
Just because you wrote films. You wrote films.
I did.
Don't make me go back to
you
the podcast.
You corrected it.
Don't make me go back to the podcast.
I was totally against this idea from the start. So.
Oh, my God. You guys are awful. Just so you know, I'm filing a protest on this day. I win by default, even if I know I'm not going to win the poll, but I win this day by
You're
default.
You're pandering now.
Totally.
Yeah. So let me correct this so that more of the suspects don't jump on board. The game that I was at was the game that Ricky Henderson broke the single season Lou Brock stolen base record, which happened in Milwaukee. But the day he set the all-time record was a home game in Oakland.
Okay.
Did you see that, by the way? It's now whatever they call the Coliseum there, Oakland Memorial Coliseum or whatever.
Okay.
But it's Ricky Henderson Field.
So, really?
Yeah, if you look behind home plate the next time the Strohs play there, for every home game, they have this big logo behind the dish on the grass that says Ricky Henderson Field.
I'll be damned.
That's weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
It's a sucky stadium, too.
Well,
it's a dump.
It's Oakland. Oakland's a dump.
Yeah, it is just a dump. All right, where do you want to
go? Rockets, obviously.
I guess so, huh?
Yeah.
A lot to digest there. I know you got your notes.
You know, it's funny because I went to pull up my notes and then I was like, seven underwear. What? Oh, that's my packing list for El Paso. That's the wrong thing. I mean, there was so many little parts where I make notes about little things like the 24-second shot clock issue with the ball obviously hit the rim.
Yes,
how do you have three dudes on the floor and miss that? But that's just typical stuff. I think the bottom line is you're never going to beat the Golden State Warriors playing like they played in the last two games. You're just not going to do it. They've been lucky. I don't know if it's a testament to how bad the Warriors have also played or how good their defense has played to keep them in it at times. The defense was atrocious in the first half, but I thought a lot better in the second half. But I don't know what it is, but it gives you a little glimpse of hope that as bad as they've played, they've been in both games. Mm-hmm. That's my big takeaway is that this is still a series if they take care of business at home, which I think they can do.
Game three is going to be huge.
Oh, of course.
Because game three, if they win it, you're in it. If you don't, they're going to fold up their tents and go home.
I kind of feel that way too, yeah.
And a point that I brought up when you and I were talking about this yesterday really was hitting me hard last night, which is why does Mike D'Antoni continually try to defend and combat the moves that Steve Kerr's making instead of making his own moves and putting the onus on the Warriors to make adjustments? D'Antoni continually makes adjustments for the Hampton Five and for everything that the Warriors are doing instead of doing things that force the Warriors. If they go a little bigger, if they go big with Fareed and Capella, it would put the Warriors at a huge disadvantage because what are you getting beat at? You're getting beat on the boards. You're getting beat on offensive rebounds and hustle plays, and you're turning the ball over too much. And I think that because of this massive focus with Daryl Morey on down about we're built for the Warriors, we're focused on the Warriors, we're going at the Warriors. But then when you get in a series with the Warriors, instead of putting them in an uncomfortable spot by forcing them to do things they're not used to doing, you let them do whatever they do and then you try to adjust even though you know that they're doing it because they have an advantage.
Yeah, I didn't like the going small.
Oh, it's terrible.
When they went small, I felt like, why are you going small? You're already getting out-rebounded. You're struggling in the paint. The pick and roll is not working, but you're going to go smaller? That didn't make any sense to me. I mean, it was a relief to see him at least play Fareed a little bit, but I don't
5 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know what the decisions are. I mean, thank God for Austin Rivers, or they would have gotten blown out. To be honest
with
you,
big shots.
Yeah, he stepped up huge. I thought Eric Gordon, when they needed him, was big. I don't know. You talked about you can't have two, or maybe it was Nick. I don't know which one of y'all, but you were like, one of y'all said you can't have two guys not score double figures if the Warriors, all five starters are going to score double figures. Well, guess what? All five Rockets starters scored in double figures.
I asked for it.
And it still didn't matter because they dug themselves a hole in the first half with all the turnovers. I think I saw on the broadcast that they said it was 20 points off of 13 turnovers.
It started out 20 straight before the Rockets got a point off a turnover.
Yes.
That was crazy.
So it was, they had 13 turnovers, which resulted in 20 points. Now let's break this down for a second. Because if the Rockets, what did the Rockets shoot? 40, let's just round up and say the Rockets shoot 50%. They shot 46% from the field. But let's just round up and say they shoot 50%. So on those 13 turnovers, let's assume you're going to not turn, let's assume three turnovers is just normal play, right? That's 10 possessions that you gave away. If you made half of those shots, and we won't even say that they were three-pointers, you gave away 10 points, plus the 20 that they scored on the turnovers. That's a 30-point swing. Like, that's that you can't do
and
that.
And there were careless mistakes. The Harden over the shoulder thinking someone was there, and he throws it over by midcourt. Then another one where he wanted Daniel House or one of the shooters. He thought they were just 3 feet too far into the corner, and he threw it into the bench, and then he was yelling at them. And it's like,
well,
you can't be
see.
That flippant with the ball. Yeah, and here's the other thing. Yeah. Don't get me started on that.
The theatrics at the free throw line.
The soap opera that was James Harden last night,
the
man.
The theatrics at the free throw line drove me insane.
He knew every time the camera was on him, on the bench and everything else, and the blinkiness, and then when he knew it was getting out of hand, the brightness, and then even
now
the,
I will say this: I've been poked in the eye like
too.
That, and the brightness and stuff will get you, and there is some blurriness.
But Barry, it didn't get him for the quarter and a half when he was in the middle of the game.
That's what I'm saying. Like while in the flow of the game, you're not thinking about it, and I felt like we've all been poked in the eye, and it hurts, and you can't see, and it's blurry, and this and that. But there's that, and then there's the theatrics of it all that I think he just ramped up a little bit.
He made the big three
at
the fourth quarter.
The free throw line.
But then he made – you're right, absolutely, because he knew the cameras would really be on.
Oh, yeah.
But when he made the big three in the fourth quarter, he turns to the TNT guys like, my eye's okay. And he was like pointing to it and poking at it. But then in the post-game press conference, he couldn't look up, and he said everything is blurry. He had a built-in out, so he just relaxed, and he still balled out. I mean, 29 points. I got someone I want to blame for a lot more than I would ever put on James Harden. 29 with what he went through, and you could see, obviously, with his eyes, he took a shot.
Oh, yeah, this is the blood and all that.
Credit
absolutely.
For him for doing
I'm not
what he
saying
did.
That it didn't hurt and all that. I'm just saying I think he embellished at times.
Totally.
Just for sympathy.
That. So we're just getting started on the Rockets discussion. If you want to join in, I'm sure you guys have comments. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Could be a bonus. Rockets now don't play till Saturday night, so 3 days to get those eyes right, get your game right, and your mind right. If you're a Rockets fan, as they head on home, and you better be out there to support them because this is the biggest game of the year. We'll be back with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You know it's hard out here for a pimp. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Half hour in, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We're talking about the Rockets. We just opened the top on that can of worms after breaking the ice early on. Barry, you and I were talking about before the break. Nick,
nope.
And Nick, obviously you're a basketball aficionado. I want to get you in here. My takeaway, fellas, more than anything else is, if there's someone to blame in this whole thing, and someone that's going to have a bullseye on his back that's going to continually get bigger, especially if this series gets shorter, Mike D'Antoni's ass is going to be in trouble.
That came out of left field.
I mean,
I thought you were going to say Clint Capella.
Nope.
I really thought you were going to say Clint Capella.
And you have a very good point with that as well. But here's my thing. When you look at what he's doing and you look at what Steve Kerr is doing on the other side, and I talk about like just reacting to what the Warriors are doing,
right?
And you look at his whole string of playoff failures, and you look at what he's doing now, and the thing that irritates me the most is we already know that he's going to have a short leash and he's going to have a short rotation in the playoffs. Regular season, he's good. But I use Montrezl Harrell as an example, as a guy that he said he could never play, whether you believe it was he was too young or he didn't trust him or whatever. Montrezl Harrell balled his ass off for the Clippers. Now you got a guy like Kenneth Faried, who saved his bacon for most of the year when Capella was out, who brings energy, who gets you those 50-50 balls, who, if nothing else, as we talked about, gets you rebounds to make sure you don't get pounded on the glass.
Yeah.
You won't play him, and the guys you play off the bench get 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 11 minutes, 5 minutes, and then Austin Rivers with 24. You can't do that because the other thing is, for as good as it was that, like you said, all five starters and double figures, the minutes that your main players played, 41 for Tucker, 40 for Paul, 36 for Gordon, 34 for Harden after missing 11 minutes with an injury. You are gassing your starters. And you are not using the right guys to stay fresh. And when they do go in the game, they can't get loose, get a sweat going, and feel comfortable, and they get yanked.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on the five minutes type thing, especially when you, I mean, Gerald Green was 2 for 3 from
no
3-point
doubt.
Range. Got to let that guy shoot himself out of a hot streak. Kenneth Freed, I think, if nothing else, he's going to bring you some energy and rebounding where you were getting beat. Yep. I mean, I would pull him aside and say, listen, bro, I don't need you to score. Get out of the way on offense. But damn it, I need you to rebound. I need you to go in there and be Dennis Rodman. Like, channel your inner Dennis Rodman and just tip the ball, keep it alive, and do everything you can to get rebounds, because that's where they got killed. Early on, it was all about turnovers and offensive rebounding. That they said it on the broadcast. It was obvious to everybody watching it that that's where they were getting killed. It's what killed them last time, too, was offensive rebounding by the Warriors. So I'm with you. You needed a guy. That's why I was like, why are they going small? You should be adding I would put Fareed on the floor with Tucker and Capella. Maybe stop some people.
Remember when we talked
maybe
about...
Maybe play some defense.
I called it the suicide lineup.
Yeah,
remember when
year.
I talked about the only defense, the defense-only lineup you would put in late in games?
Yeah.
Use him as part of that defensive-only lineup. I'm totally with you on that, because the 8 offensive rebounds, the 8 more that Golden State had, most of them came in the last 3 minutes of the game when all you needed was an offensive board and you were in that ballgame.
Yeah. I mean, the question becomes, who do you take out? I would probably take out Harden at that point. I would leave Eric Gordon in. I would leave Chris Paul in, because they both play defense. Eric Gordon has proven his mettle as a defender in his playoffs. So I wouldn't mind leaving Eric Gordon in, because you're still going to need offense. Mm-hmm. But why not go kind of big and use a power forward and a small forward like P.J. Tucker and Kenneth Freed are supposed to be playing? So you could have Capella at the 5, Freed at the 4, Tucker at the 3, Gordon at the shooting guard. Let Chris Paul bring it up. When you need to get stops, when you need to control the clock or whatever it is and play some defense, I wouldn't mind that lineup at all, because outside of Fareed, all those guys can still score. I mean, you could still run the pick and roll with Capella and Chris Paul. You could still get 3-point shots in the corners with Eric Gordon and P.J. Tucker.
And if Gordon or
I'm
Paul
with you on that regard. There's definitely room for rotation changes.
And Austin Rivers is another great defender. So if one of those guys is in foul trouble, slide him in.
Yeah.
At least when you need a stop. And with the playoffs and the extra timeouts,
yeah,
you can get yourself a timeout to get your offensive unit back on the floor. But they just don't pay enough attention. It's like a chess match, only D'Antoni's playing checkers. And I really firmly believe this. If this is a short series and people really start paying attention to what's going on here with, and we haven't even got to who you thought was going to issue.
Yeah.
When we get to down to all that, and then you start realize he is getting out-coached in every aspect of this series.
So, can you blame the turnovers on getting out-coached? Because I agree with what Shaq said during the broadcast when he was, I think it was halftime, when he said, look, man, you know what happened in game one. You cannot come out and lose focus. And these turnovers are a product of not focusing, of not being in the moment. And I agree with him. I mean, I didn't play professional basketball, but that makes a ton of sense coming from a guy that did.
You want me to break
it? I mean,
it
can you blame the coach for those guys not being focused?
Absolutely.
Because I mean, I might blame Daryl Morey for bringing that stuff out.
You're
with the
prepping
league.
Him. You're dealing with him at shoot around. You're dealing with them in the locker room. And one of the messages you're sending them is, fellas, look, there's certain things that you can't control, which is the momentum and the sounds of the gym, the way the referees are going to call the game. But what you can do is you can be hyper-focused and make sure, take care of the basketball. Make sure you're making the right play, but making passes that you believe in. Don't take chances now, because chances lead to turnovers. Turnovers lead to their points, and that puts us in a hole. You can see that in game one. So when you look at the tape, you show it to them. At shoot around, you emphasize it. When you talk to them before they take the floor, you stress. Control what you can control. And one of those things is play smart, play focused.
I would believe he would do that, though.
I don't think so, man.
I don't know.
He has an antsy nature to him. I just think when it comes playoff time, he's just so quick to make a decision, because I feel like he's so worried about something going wrong. And that's
D'Antoni.
And that's why I think the rotation is so tight in the playoffs, too, because he's just... Second, you make a mistake, it's like, boom, you're pulled.
He's got a quick hook. And that's where he's reactive instead of proactive. Again, that's where I get back to. Make them play your game. Don't keep trying to play theirs.
But I don't think – I mean, that's the case, too, with the Warriors. I saw Kerr pull Looney after a boneheaded foul I think it was a reach on Harden where he fell for the okie doke, and immediately they're like, "Get your ass out of here."
They trusted him to play for 16 minutes. Daniel House, he played a lot more minutes in the first game. He got significantly reduced. Fareed, that's going to be like one of my biggest questions. I'm going to ask everybody about Fareed and why he has gotten the limited minutes. Is there something else? Perhaps he's hurt and we don't know about it. I don't know. I'm not trying to make any excuses, but Fareed could be a good option.
I don't know if they've asked him the two games in Oakland, but do me a favor. I'm not here Saturday because I'm obviously in El Paso, but if I was, all the stuff that I talked about not asking.
People want to hear, Nick.
Bet your ass that would be my first question at the press conference if Fareed gets the same amount of minutes. Why is Kenneth Fareed not a major part of your rotation? That would be the exact question that I would ask him. It's not open for a, well, we're lit. No. Why is he not getting more minutes? That would be the question I would ask. Somebody has to ask that to find out.
You see, and if you look at the bench play, the Rockets actually outscored the Rockets' bench outscored their bench, but if you look at
thanks to Austin Rivers,
right, and you're not going to get that out of Rivers a lot, but you look at their bench, they still trust them more. I mean, 10 minutes for Jericho, 9 minutes for McKinney. I mean, you have 16 minutes for Looney, 13 minutes for Livingston. They trust them to be in the lineup and for the time being when their starters are not playing, to not mess things up completely, even if they're not an offensive machine. You know what I mean? And that's what the Rockets are not doing right now in these first two games. If you're not going to be an offensive product coming off the bench, you can't mess things up. You got to play hard defense. You can't make stupid mistakes. Like Shaq said, you can't commit a bunch of turnovers. And I just think that's what Golden State has and the Rockets doesn't.
You know, you're right. The Rockets bench outscored them thanks to Austin Rivers, but mm-hmm. The Warriors bench also out-rebounded the Rockets bench 15-6. Like, it wasn't even close.
That's where I was going.
15-6? You're letting bench guys out-rebound starters when it's 15-6.
And here's the other thing. You're spot on, Nick, because it was exactly what I was going to say as well. When Kerr yells at a Looney, he yells at him to make sure he doesn't make the mistake again, but he puts him back in the game. He did not do that with House or Green when he got mad at both of them and he yanked them. And the other thing is, Green's a professional. He's been in and out of lineups. He gets it. But you're dealing with the psyche of a kid right now that's never been to the playoffs before that may or may not be a part of your team going forward. And the thing is, when you're a young guy and this is your first go-around in the playoffs, you're already like thinking more about don't screw up than you are about playing your game. But when you get yanked and then only play 5 minutes because of it and you get yelled at by your best player and your head coach – now you're messed up going forward, too, and that you can't call his name and number later on and go, I expect big things out of Daniel House.
See, I think part of the problem with House was, and this goes back to game one, if you watch game one, I don't know why they had House guarding Kevin Durant, but House is a defensive liability on the floor most of the time when he's guarding good players. I mean, he can guard average guys, but you're going to put Daniel House guarding Kevin Durant?
He did okay.
You don't blame somebody. Blame Jeff Bezdelic for that because that's ridiculous. There's like one guy on this Rockets team that I think can really and truly has the skill set to guard Kevin Durant because really he's unguardable if we're being honest.
Sure.
There's really no one in this league. Maybe Giannis Antetokounmpo has the defensive prowess and footwork to be able to guard a Kevin Durant. Clint Capella is the one guy that needs to be stuck on Kevin Durant the entire time. Now, also, kudos to Kevin James Harden. Yeah, I thought he actually defended him pretty well
in the post. Yeah,
yeah, but Capella's that guy. Why do you have House on Durant? That's where I thought. Well, this guy's just losing it because
see, there's he one looked thing.
Bad, and maybe that's why he only got 5 minutes. Yeah. He's a liability. Well, but
here's
out
the
thing.
There. There's one thing to say. He's not a great defender against above average players. I think he's a pretty decent defender in his first full year in the league or whatever it is. But I think there's a huge gap between just be a decent defender against whoever you're guarding in the league, or go out and try and stop the best scoring player in the world right now. And I get it, people. Harden's up there, too. But go ahead and try and stop Kevin Durant. You don't think that he got a little tight?
Yeah.
His eyes got a little wide going, how the hell am I going to do this?
Yeah.
So, all right, we can continue to roll on. If you guys want to get Rockets Talk in or otherwise, we are here for you. It's just the first hour of the show. We'll take you all the way till 4. Blitz will take you till 7. It's all right here on ESPN 97.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
The happiness continues on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Stupid-ass Nick.
Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio on a Wayback Wednesday.
You still getting your email on Prodigy?
That used to be a thing.
I know.
I forgot about that.
We were arguing about email because Joel, every time we have to do something that he doesn't want to do, he's like, oh, I can't get to my email, guys.
Yeah, but here's the difference.
But then if it pays, he's like, oh, I got it. No worries. Nope. But then Nick is like, I made fun of Joel for having AOL, just joking. And Nick's like, oh, I still use it. I would hang on to that. What? You're
no,
older
no,
than
I
him.
I still use Yahoo.
No.
Which is still
AOL.
Very common.
AOL for me. I said Yahoo.
Yeah, that's what he said, and he knows that. He's just trolling right
you're,
now.
No, but you said, Joel, did he not say he would
no,
hang
I
on
would
to his
AOL? No, I would keep an AOL account, but here's the difference.
Why would you do
it's
that?
It's not because I don't know how to use my email accounts like Gmail and Yahoo. It's because I'm always running out of space. That's my problem.
Hello, there's this thing called the cloud. You get a cloud drive on Google or
you
Apple
pay for
since
it.
You have
you
Apple.
You got to pay for it. I'm cheap.
No, they give you like 5 gigs free. Audio files aren't that big.
My
you can
pager.
Just upload them for free.
Hang on, my pager just went off.
911. It's Lisa 911.
Yeah,
bring home avocado ice cream.
Babe, we're pregnant.
Oh, 911.
Hey! Just got it from Lisa.
Like, dude, get a cloud drive and upload your audio there. Why are you being so old about this?
I'm trying to tell you, my cloud is full.
Of what?
Get
of
off
audio.
Of this cloud, Barry.
Yeah. It's already so pay for it. I pay like
no,
a,
you pay for
buck
it.
$1.99 a month.
I'm not
bro,
paying no
cheap.
$1.99 a month.
It
I don't make no
so
Laminack
cheap.
Money.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
You didn't even pay me my $5. You could have saved that and bought you some cloud
space. I got
space.
A dollar. I got a dollar right now.
I just want you to buy me a Diet Coke. For what you brought me today, I'll just buy me a Diet Coke today. We're even.
Yeah, but that vending machine won't take my dollar. The
oh,
takes the change.
Oh, they so won't you take fixed my, one and not the other?
Well, the dollar part will never be fixed. But
oh, my God. I was trying to find stats because somebody told me I was crazy for thinking that Clint Capela guarding Kevin Durant was a good idea. And I was trying to find some head-to-head matchups. But, I mean,
what's the good idea for Kevin Durant?
Yeah, there really is none. I mean, again, James Harden, give him a little credit. He got a swipe on the ball on Durant that got turned into a turnover. He had a hand in his face. He was on him because, I mean, they're boys. So you're going to play him a little tighter and you know the game a little more and – I feel like Harden had some good, a couple of series down the court with Durant. But overall, there's no one else on this Rockets team that has the height, the footwork, the speed, and the ability to guard Kevin Durant other than Clint Capela. Mm. I'm not saying it's great. Who?
Here's
if you're
my
saying
thing.
PJ Tucker,
House is not
Tucker
a bad
was
idea.
Getting roasted.
Here's,
House is an awful
no,
idea because he got roasted.
He's raw.
But what else are you going to? Yeah, but you need
problem,
someone with a little bit of size that can put at least keep it up. Keep
that's
keep,
the problem.
Keep
you
a
don't
hand
need,
in his
you
face.
You can't have a little
he's
bit of
shoot
size.
Over you regardless.
Let me ask
I
you
know,
this.
But that's why you want your 7-footer or whatever Capela is. That's why you want him on there instead of House or PJ Tucker. That makes no sense.
I'd put Fareed on him until he fouled out
no.
because he's got enough height and athleticism. Because the thing about Capela is he's not laterally quick enough when KD puts it on the floor and KD blows his doors off. Whereas everybody else that you're currently throwing at him are about 6 inches shorter than him, and it doesn't matter how good a low post defense you play or whatever defense you play on him, he's shooting over you, and it's easy. So at least with Fareed, he's got reach, he's got some athleticism, he's got some fouls to burn in only 5 minutes if he's only going to play 5 minutes.
But the problem isn't getting beat to the rack because you could get rotational help. You could have PJ
well,
Tucker.
That's a big thing. They're not rotating.
Yeah, but that's not Clint Capela's fault. If you put Clint Capela out on Kevin Durant and Durant wants to take him to the hole, guess what, PJ Tucker? You need to rotate. You need to provide some assistance in the paint with Kevin Durant. That's how it goes, but out on the perimeter is where he's beating
but
the Rockets.
Saying,
it's not
Barry,
getting
if
to
you
the
guys
rack.
Have some, if you put someone else on him with lateral quickness, now he can't get that penetration. Now he has to dribble around the perimeter where you guys can, where the rest of the defenders can push
but
out.
That's where he's
but
already
if he
beating
beats
them.
Capela right off the first step. Now your defense is already playing 5-on-4, and now, like you were saying, now you're relying on guys that aren't used to having to rotate that quickly and come from the weak side that rapidly. And they're sitting there on they're flat-footed instead
so,
of moving.
It's a pick your poison, but dude, Kevin Durant, go look at his shot chart. It's those mid-range fadeaways where he is roasting the Rockets. And the best the way you're going to beat that is to knock him off of that shot. And whether that's Clint Capela with a 7-foot hand in his face, that's your, I mean, you really got nothing else. There's really no way to stop this cat.
I agree with that.
It's, I mean, we're arguing 1A and 1B.
I mean, you
and
look at the shots he made way. Even late.
It's crazy.
Anything within, and we talk about Lillard's range, but anything on that side of half court is in his range. And he makes some extremely difficult contested shots,
yeah, he really
too.
Does.
He's just on a different planet right now. So, I mean, that's one of the things. But like I said, if you got fouls to burn, keep throwing guys at him. I mean, foul him, give him different looks. But what they're doing right now obviously ain't working.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what? You kept, for the most part, you kept Steph in check again. And obviously the finger had a little something to do with that. But Clay also went off.
Well, Clay had, yeah.
He got hot in that second half that really hurt them. So we can continue to move on. We've got some people piling up in here that wants to have some of the comments get on the air. So we'll get to those as well. Before we get to the break, though, I do want to tell you, a lot of us travel. And whether you travel for business or for your own personal fun and games, you also get your airline and your hotel. And a lot of times you don't really get the best rates that you possibly can because you're just trying to lock in things and you go to these sites that you see commercials for that you think have to be giving you the best possible deals. Well, they don't. Take your hotel, for example, besthotelrates.com. They have over 600,000 hotels worldwide, and they have deals with all of them. So they've already negotiated and done the hard part. You just have to do what you do, which is plug in your destination, your dates of travel, and just like that, you're looking at discounted rates for all these hotels that you can pick from where you would be paying more for them somewhere else. They're fantastic hotels. They've done the research for you, and they've negotiated the deal. All you need to do is just get on the website. You go to besthotelrates.com, and they take care of the rest of saving you money. They're going to make sure that you get safe, clean, fantastic hotels to stay in. They're going to have your reservations backed up for you, top-notch customer service, and you don't end up paying more that like you would pay with some of these other vacation sites or some of these other hotel sites. You pay a great rate. besthotelrates.com. I'm telling you, check it out. You'll be glad you did. It's all said in the name, and it starts with planning your next trip today. besthotelrates.com.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.